It's so good to be with you all this morning. It wouldn't be Raymond if he wasn't messing with me before I came up, and praise God for him and his life. I bring greetings from Waiho Community Church. We're so blessed to partner with you folks at KBC, and we're honored to call you fellow gospel partners in our community here on Maui. Thank you so much for praying for us and providing for us financially, and all the great things that you guys do to partner with Waiho Community Church, and for praying for Kenny and I as we're going through this elder process. And please pray for our wives as well, because wives can catch cracks too. Anyway, I'm going to read our text one more time just so I can get my head in the game. And let's read this one more time. Titus chapter 3, 12 through 15. When I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing, and let your people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful. All who are with me send their greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful that you leave us your word. Oftentimes we'll hear, oh man, if only Jesus was still with us, we wouldn't have, the world wouldn't be as evil as it is. If only Jesus was in our presence, we'd have everything that we need. What a weird and wrong way to think, because we know that if Christ did not raise and ascend and is seated at the Father, the Holy Spirit could not be dispatched to live in each and every life of every believer. And so we pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you illumine your text this morning to us, that it wouldn't just be words on a page that somebody named Paul wrote 2,000 plus years ago, but Lord, it is still relevant for the church in Crete as it is relevant for us here today in Kahului, on Maui, in Hawaii. And would you help us so that we can be your hands and feet here in our community? Would you help us this morning as we are weak and very needy people? In Jesus' name, amen. On Facebook, I'm a part of a few different groups that like to post old pictures of Maui. And I'm also follow a few different profiles on Instagram that do something similar with not just Maui, but places all over Hawaii. And what's cool is that they'll post pictures from the plantation era, so the 1800s all the way into the 1900s and the overthrow and all that stuff, and then into the 60s and the 70s. And it's, for me, I love looking at all those old pictures, because I look at Maui and I think, man, we've grown so much. And I'm young, and I can barely remember some things. Some things I do remember, but I think to myself often, like, man, how cool will it have been to grow up and experience Maui? I mean, we're still considered small town. Everything closes at 9 o'clock. Praise the Lord, you know. But I think, man, what was it like? You know, I like to listen to Kupuna and talk story with Kupuna, and they tell me about what their life was like. You know, like one of my coworkers, Van, often talks about, oh, I remember when only had one road that went to Kihei and Makena. I remember only had a couple families that lived out that side. And now look, all the hotels and all this stuff. And, you know, and I think, man, one other thing that I always think about too is, as I'm driving around, I always look towards Wailuku. I love Wailuku. I was raised, yeah, down the road in Kahului, but Wailuku, yeah? And I always look at Kahumanu Church, and I see that big, beautiful steeple. And I don't know if you guys notice, but this might be something cool for you guys to notice, is that from many different vantage points on Maui, you can see that gleaming white steeple. And I think about, man, what a beacon of hope to the people of Maui. That wherever you are, you coming back from Kihei, you look towards Mauna Kea Alawai, and you see this beacon of hope that is the church. And I think, man, how beautiful is that? You know, and I think about all these other things, and I think, man, how did, And I, as I'm thinking about that stuff, I also think about the gospel and how did the gospel get all the way here? We're the most isolated place on earth. And yet here we are 2,000 years later after Christ is risen, the gospel made it here. Similarly, the gospel didn't stop in Jerusalem, right? We all know that. Again, we testify to that because we are products of the gospel moving throughout the earth. And I think, man, how did that happen? The truth is, how that happened was it was grassroots, right? There was no forms of mass transportation. There was no telephones, no telegraphs. Paul wrote letters. And then brothers and sisters copied those letters and kept sending them out, you know? And I want us to see this morning that as we read and walk through this text, this is very much how the gospel is going to continue to spread in Kahului, on Maui. It's going to be you and I. It's going to be grassroots. Praise God, we get social media and we have all this stuff, but what it's going to be, church, is relational evangelism. It's going to be me investing in my spiritual life so that I can then go in turn, preach the good news to my family, my coworkers, and my neighbors. God wants us to see through our text this morning that each and every one of you, God wants to use you for the work of ministry. It doesn't matter what your sphere of influence is in life. God wants to use you. You might think, I only go and power wash people's floors. Yeah, Raymond. But God wants to use you in that. How? Bro, I don't know, cuz. But God's going to tell you and use you, right? That's our big thing I want us to see this morning. Our big main idea is that God uses individual lives of believers like you and me to share the gospel and do the work of ministry that God, Christ, has called all of us to do. And I want to show you that this morning in our text in four different ways. And our text can be broken up into four different parts. The first part I'm going to talk about, which is really the whole section that we're going through, verses 12 through 15. It's a roll call. That's what I call it, a roll call. The next section can be broken up, and I titled it A Repeated Reminder. We find that in verse 14. Also in verse 14, we find our third section, a command to Kokua. And lastly, our fourth section, the grace to accomplish it. Again, roll call, number one, a repeated reminder, number two, a command to Kokua, number three, and last, the grace to accomplish it. Let's first look at our roll call. Verses 12 through 15, it's our whole text this morning. And in our text, we'll see some of the individuals that Paul used in the work of ministry back in that time. And by no means are these the only people that partnered with Paul in preaching and teaching and spreading the gospel in his ministry. I want to point that out. These are not the only people. Just because they're mentioned doesn't mean they were the only people, yeah? So let's look at these individuals that were part of Paul's work. When I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, do your best to come see me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter here. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. The first person that's not explicitly named, but that we can look at is Titus himself. This letter was written to Titus. So he's part of the crew. He's part of the team. He was Paul's faithful delegate that was sent to Crete to work with a difficult group of people. We have Matt, I think his last name is Harper, who is here for Speak for the Unborn and is preaching at WCC today. And we were talking last night, and he reminded me, hey, Crete was an island. I go, bro, you're right. I don't know why that never hit me. This island people was Kolohe, kind of like us island people, Kolohe, yeah? But Titus was sent to help establish and build the churches in Crete. He was a Gentile, probably in his late 30s, and we see him mentioned also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, when Paul says that he was being sent to Dalmatia which is a northern, which is modern day Albania. And we know that Titus was a faithful, solid man of God. Next, we see Artemis. This is the only reference in the whole New Testament, the whole Bible, to this man, Artemis. From his name, we can safely assume that he was a Gentile. From the fact that Paul considered him a worthy replacement for Titus, we can surmise that he was a competent, knowledgeable, faithful, and mature man of God. Tychicus was another faithful Gentile believer, native of Asia, which is what we know now as Western Turkey. He had traveled with Paul along with some other men at the close of Paul's missionary journey that we see in Acts chapter 20. Later, he was with Paul during his first Roman imprisonment, and Paul sends the letters of Ephesians and Colossians with Tychicus, and we're told that these churches, we're told about through Paul's circumstances. So Tychicus was the guy who delivered these letters that we now know as Ephesians and Colossians. Paul later sent him to Ephesus to relieve Timothy so that perhaps Timothy could join Paul in Rome before his execution. Paul calls Tychicus in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord. He was a valuable member of the team. We also see Zenas the lawyer. He's a Greek person who was obviously a lawyer, right? But not just was he a lawyer, he was considered an expert in the Mosaic law. It is believed that he, along with Apollos, carried the epistle to Titus in Crete. We see Apollos. He was a Jew from Alexandria in northern Egypt, an eloquent public speaker, mighty in the scriptures and fervent in spirit. We see all this in Acts chapter 18. He came to Ephesus where Paul's teammates, Priscilla and Aquila, took him aside and taught him the way of God more accurately. The fact that he listened to Priscilla and Aquila shows that he was a humble, teachable person. The next people that we see Paul references is as our people. Yeah, this refers to all the Christians in Crete, all believers, even those who go unnamed, even those from the obscure villages in Crete were part of the team. They were to learn and take the lead in good deeds. It's as if, right, think about Pastor Jay this morning. Pastor Jay is on Lana'i, and just similarly to how I greeted you all and said, I bring greetings from Waiahu Community Church. I don't go down the roster and name everyone. We just say WCC brings greetings to you all. Similar here, we see our people. He's talking about Crete. The next group of people, he says, all with me. Now, we don't know who was with Paul or where he was, but we can assume that he was not alone. Besides Zenas and Apollos, there was a church where Paul was staying, and he fellowship with these saints, showing us that he wasn't alone. The next group of people we see, all those who love us in the faith. These were Paul's friends and fellow saints in Crete. There may be a subtle allusion to those who did not love Paul in the faith, the false teachers who needed to be silenced. The reason why we love one another is because we share a common faith in the Lord Jesus. And I preached this sermon before, and I'm feeling the exact same feeling that I felt when I preached this the first time. And man, it's just kind of dry. Like, we just went through a whole list of people, and you guys are sitting there, and I'm standing here, and you're like, okay, what's the point? I know it. You guys are sitting there thinking, all right, Josh. Maybe some of you are like, bro, he's an elder candidate? Nah, just joking. But I felt the same way. When Pastor Rocky initially signed me this verse, this section of scripture, if you don't know, Kenny, Uncle Mike, and I, we preached through this entire book for WCC. But he gave me this section of scripture, and I was like, bro, Rocky, what's there to preach about? He's saying goodbye. You know? And I thought, wow, this is like a throwaway sermon, you know? Like, all right, like me and Erica were joking, and Paula were joking around, because we have a really big members meeting after church today, and they're like, oh, your sermon's gonna be like 20 minutes, right? I'm like, yeah, do good works, rely on the Spirit, ahuiho, you know? But it's important because, again, my main point is I want you guys to see that you are the roll call for KBC. You are these people that Paul names. You are the Zenuses and the Tituses and the Tychicuses. And God used those people, and even more so, God wants to use you. He wants to use you where you are in your community. So I want us to see that Paul didn't labor alone, and you're not going to labor alone. Pastor Jay and Pastor Bill and Pastor Noah, praise God, you got three elders. They're not laboring alone, and not more so, they're not laboring alone because they have one another, but they have you to labor alongside them. Each one of you, KBC, are gifted members of the team here at Kalawi Baptist Church. You have gifts and talents that I don't have, and I have gifts and talents that you don't have. We're the many-membered body, right? And as I was thinking about this, I remember a while back the Lord gave me this analogy about, it's a sports analogy, so maybe some of you guys won't get it, but I'm going to do them anyway. But have you ever heard the term bench warmer? Yeah, this is a pretty common term, right? And if you're not familiar, in team sports, generally you have your first string. Those are the starters. Praise God, one more Sunday till football starts, right? Well, if you're into college, Nick, sorry about your Warriors yesterday. But, right, you got your first team, you got your starters, and you got your second team, and then your third team, and then you guys got the guys who suit up, and they just sit on the bench. They warm the bench. And I started thinking, like, bro, Lord, like, am I a bench warmer? You know, like, I'm just sitting here, I'm just doing this, and the Lord is, like, rebuking me and showing me, like, I don't make bench warmers. Everybody's a starter in the kingdom. If you are a believer this morning, and you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within you, you're a starter. You're part of the team. Get in the game. I think about, during my sermon, when I was preaching, I thought about members, and I think about my wife who stays home and takes care of my daughters. I was reminded of Lindsay and Claire and Sarah, who also stay home and take care of the kids and mind the house. Praise God for that. And don't let the enemy cause you to think that's a minuscule kuleana. That's a big kuleana. I think about myself working with James every Monday through Friday. You know, we have the responsibility of ministry when we're at work. We're the image of Christ to our coworkers. Paulo, praise God, you're going to join the team. We get to do the work of ministry, certified welding. This is what we're called to do. Nick, Uncle Wes, when you guys are at the bank, you're not just working. You know what I mean? Like, God's using you to affect customers and coworkers. Just walk faithfully. Kate and Noah, when you're working at the school, Erica, when you're working at the school, right, you're doing the work of ministry. Like, don't discount where God has you. God has you in this place to do the work of ministry in the sphere of people whom you are with. We all need to see that where God has placed us is our ministry, and he's calling us to reflect him in those places. There's been a couple times, and James can testify, where I screwed up at work. Praise God, I don't have the temper that I used to have. I used to have a mean temper. Me and Kenny, if you know Kenny Komatsu, he was up and up on temper action. Anyway, I blew up at a coworker, and I felt awful, but I also felt prideful. I was like, nah, bro, he deserved the yellings I gave him, you know, but immediately, bro, I was convicted. I didn't represent Christ well. Me, James, and Van, and now Paulo, we're the only Christians at our company. So if they look at me and say, wow, that guy's a Christian, but he's going to treat me like a fool, why do I want to follow Christ? So I had to repent, not just to my coworker, but the one I yelled at, but all of them. I said, bro, I'm sorry, like I didn't rep Christ well. I failed in that, and will you guys forgive me? Because that's not how Jesus operates. And that's not how I'm supposed to operate as a Christian. We're meant to reflect God in our places of influence, our workplaces, our families, and in our community. Because guess what? I'm not in those places. You are. And you're not in the place where I am. Because I'm there. Right? You have a beautiful set of skills and a beautiful testimony that God has saved you out of darkness into his glorious light that will speak to specific people that I can't speak to. Right? I didn't have to go through the crazy life of doing drugs and partying and all this stuff. God saved me before my life could get out of control. And there are people who God did save them from that stuff. Praise God that they can use their testimony to tell other people who are struggling in those things, God can get you out of this and give you something that's way better. Each and every one of us play a vital role in God's kingdom. Let's look at our second part in our text this morning, a repeated reminder. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help in cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful. I want us again to see that every member has the kuleana, has the responsibility to engage in good deeds. Paul emphasizes this multiple times in this short letter. And it's no accident that Paul gives this as a last reminder to Titus. Because the life of the Christian is marked by our good deeds towards fellow men. It wasn't as if Paul just told Titus in the letter, hey, remind those buggers to be good. Hey, remind them, make nice. That's not how it was, right? Well, he didn't just tell us to do that. He gave us examples of what this life looks like of doing good deeds to one another. And funny enough, our first example in chapter 1, verse 16, is an example of what not to do by using the false teachers that had crept into the Cretan church. Verse 16 in chapter 1 says, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. These people professed to know God and trust in him, but their deeds and their actions told a different story. These people were leading others in the church to believe that just because they were Jews, they had special access or knowledge of God. We call that Gnosticism. And I want to be very clear this morning that Gnosticism is very much still alive and well today. And I want to give you a word of warning. If there are people who say they're Christians and they try to make you believe that you're not a Christian or you're not a good enough Christian because you don't follow these other things that I know about, that person is a false teacher and is trying to lead you astray, whether they realize it or not. First John chapter 2, verse 4 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. These false teachers started out looking like a nice, beautiful gold chain around someone's neck. Oh, wow, that's a nice gold chain. Where you got that? Oh, aloha gold buyers, give me a good deal. Eventually, as time went on, that gold chain started turning the wearer's neck green. If you don't know, fake gold turns green. That's how you know the bug of fake. eventually, right, false teachers, false professions of faith will come out as being that false. Paul further exhorts in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, be an example of good deeds. In verse 14, he says that Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Another example, chapter 3, verse 1, he tells Titus to remind believers to be ready for every good work. We are commanded to do good deeds because they show further proof of our Christian life. They give evidence of our faith. Since we've been redeemed by Christ's blood, he wants us to voluntarily yield our lives, ourselves, fully to him. Such surrender is our only reasonable response to the saving work that he does in us. We are commanded to do good deeds because, again, they further show proof of a Christian life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for it is our spiritual worship. Our effort to do good deeds that we're encouraged by Paul today in Titus, our effort to do good deeds to our fellow men are meant to magnify and bring glory to our great and merciful God. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Our good deeds is evidence of our salvation. They are not the means of our salvation. What do I mean by that? When you do good deeds where God has called you in your sphere of influence, you don't do the good deeds so that you will be saved. You don't do the good deeds so that you will work your way back into God's good graces. Shucks, I never read my Bible this week. I only prayed for 1 hour this whole week. I gotta do something for God because we not porno me and God. That's a bad way to think. It's the wrong way to think. In fact, that type of thinking damns you to hell. There's nothing that you can do. No work done in so-called righteousness will ever be enough to pay God back for the debt that you owe him. It is Christ's perfect sacrifice alone. So these good works that we're called to do, they're not a means of our salvation. Yeah? It's evidence of our salvation. Praise God, call we get choked mango trees, huh? It seems like that's the thing. Like every house in Dream City was like, here's the keys, here's one mango seed. Like every house, right? Praise God. And praise God, most of them is Haydens, huh? Brother Haydens. Why do I bring that up? Because when you look at a mango tree, if domo fruit, it can be easily mistaken if you're not one expert in, I don't know, botany. You think, oh, that's an avocado tree. Or you can pass, oh, that's one lychee tree. Brother, that's not one lychee tree, that's one mango tree. How you know? Mangoes, cuz. Get mangoes on top. Right? Similarly with you, how do I know you're a Christian? Bro, praise God. You do good deeds. When you sin, you repent. After you repent, you pick yourself up and you holomua. You keep walking with the Lord. That's the beautiful walk of a Christian. Fall down, get back up. Fall down, get back up. That's what we're called to do. Paul makes this very clear in verse 5 of chapter 3. He saved us again. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy. By the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, if you found yourself getting into that pattern of I gotta do this because I'm not pulling with the Lord, I gotta read my Bible more. Oh, I lost track. I'm failing at my Bible reading plan. It's September 1st. It says I'm supposed to be in Titus, but I only in Corinthians. Praise God, bro. Just go read Titus. I didn't pray enough. Pray. Don't get in that. Don't get yourself out of that routine, man. Get yourself out of that thinking. And I preach it to the choir because I fall into that all the time. Paul closes this book with another reminder for Christians to be people who do good works. As believers, our good works are not optional, extracurricular things that we do. That we do in our spare time. They're not just things that we, I get some time on Tuesday nights, so maybe I'll go and do the biblical counseling thing because that will help me spiritually. Or I get some time Saturday, I can help the kind them move or whatever. Like, no, this is just stuff that we do as Christians. This is automatics that we have to get used to doing. Our third point in our text this morning is a command to help one another, a command to kokua. Verse 14, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help in cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Each and every one of us are dependent on each other as the body of Christ. We need one another. As I said in the beginning of our sermon, although Paul was extremely gifted, he needed other believers. Yeah? It wasn't just a one-way street where Christians needed Paul. Oh, we need you, Paul. We need you because you're the guy, Paul. You're the guy. You know all the things about God. And so we need you. That's not how it was. Paul needed the believers, the other fellow believers, as much as they needed him. Every member of the body of Christ is important, and every member of the body is needed for the body to function correctly, right? Praise God, you can function with one kidney, but you do need one, you need your liver, yeah? You need your liver, you need your lungs, you need your brain, you need your heart. All of these many members, organs in your body work together to make your body function. Similarly, each and every one of you, KBC members, are needed to make sure that your body, Calvary Baptist Church, is healthy. If one of you is sick, if one of your organs is sick, the whole body eventually will suffer. Help one another. We got to see this practically expressed, right, in your guys' church when Zeke and Sarah had, what's his name? Finn, yeah? When they had Finn, and you guys rallied around them, and you guys brought them meals and checked in on them. Praise God, WCC did that with us when we had Betty. You know, we have an app that we all get on called GroupMe, and whenever we need help, we put them in a GroupMe. Yeah, I need help. I need this. Hey, can you pray for me? The other day, I think I told Van this, but I don't know if I told James this. I was struggling at work. I was really tired because, you know, we have a newborn and all that stuff. And then I had some sassy customers that day on the phone. And I had to tell myself, you're not allowed to talk to people like they're dumb. You're not allowed to talk to people like they're dumb. I had to tell myself that. And then I ended up texting my wife, and then I texted the men in the group. I said, hey, can you guys pray for me? Because I'm having a hard time reflecting Christ today. Yeah? Very much, KBC, we got to learn to swallow our pride. Yeah? Hawaii people, we get this spirit of, this attitude of, oh, I get them. Yeah? I'm sure each and every one of us had that attitude of, no, I get them. One time I was helping my friend. We got food from the food bank, and Brado was trying to make like he was all big and strong and carry two cases of water. And I can help you carry one. No, I get them. He's holding the two cases of water. So I run, I try to open the door. No, bro, I get them. Bro, you're holding two cases of water. Like, let me at least open the door for you. No, I get them. So I go, okay. So I turn around, and as I turn around, boom, all the water fall down. Oh, brother, I guess you never get them, huh? Church, don't get that attitude. Don't get that attitude. Have the attitude of, I don't got this. Because guess what? If I had this, I wouldn't be struggling right now. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be feeling like this. So swallow your pride and reach out. Reach out to your friends. Reach out to other members. Reach out to your pastors. Yeah. Not only do you guys need one another, but our churches need one another. Yeah, praise God. Like I talked about before, we're honored to partner with Kalui Baptist Church. We have other partners around Maui County, Kihei Baptist, Pastor Jay's on Lana'i right now. Praise God, we have national partners that we partner with in the gospel. You guys prayed for Emmanuel Community Church this morning. And you guys have international partners that you guys pray for. Like the Taylors today in Gaza and the West Bank. Praise God for those partners. But it's not a one-way street where we're the only ones praying for these guys. Those guys are also praying for us. Those guys are also supporting us. So this is how the gospel is spread, through partnership. Partnership with individual believers in the local church, as well as individual churches within the full body of Christ. As we wrap up, I want to show us this last part. This last part we see in our text possibly is the most encouraging thing of all of this. Verse 15, grace be with you all. We are dependent on the Lord. It is only by the grace and the power of the Spirit that is at work in us is this work truly accomplished. Right? It's like if somebody told me, hey, Josh, go help Nick down the road. Oh, I know more gas. Just go help Nick. But how am I going to help Nick if I don't have gas? I don't have the power to go there. Just go help him. That's not what we're seeing here. We're not seeing that, hey, you guys are called to do good works and you guys are called to spread the gospel. Go and do it under your own power. That's not what we see here. What we see is that God gives you the grace, the power to do these things. Praise God. Because if he didn't give us the power, the gospel probably wouldn't have left Israel. Right? It is only through the grace and power of the Spirit in us that we are able to do these things. The good works that we endeavor to do, the needs of one another we try to meet, the spread of the gospel will all be in vain if we try to do it under our own strength. It is by his power that he regenerated us from spiritual death into eternal life. He renewed us by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The result is that being justified by his grace, we are now heirs according to the promise and the hope of eternal life. That is why we are zealous, and we must be zealous in serving Jesus Christ. KBC, let's trust in God the Father's sovereign plan for our individual lives. Let's trust the Father for his plan for our churches, your church here in Kahului. Pastor Jay asked me, this was a while back, he goes, man, you guys are adding a lot of members. How is this happening? And I was like, we're not really adding a lot of members. What do you know? But he goes, how is this happening? I said, bro, it's members catching the vision. It's catching the vision that the gospel spreads through my witness. It's not just the pastor's kuleana to preach the gospel. Every believer has the kuleana, the responsibility to go and share. Let us trust in the Father's plans for us. Let us trust in Christ's finished work on the cross, and the Holy Spirit's power to accomplish all of this work that he's called us to do. Let's lean on the Spirit and let's lean on one another to do this gospel work that God is calling each and every one of us to do. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so grateful that you don't just leave us high and dry with marching orders to do things, but Lord, you give us the power by your Spirit, by your grace, by your mercy. How great, how beautiful and great it is, Lord, that you would use people like us, broken people, to share the good news of the gospel. That's what makes it beautiful, Lord, that each and every one of us can say, we were dead, but now we're alive. We were lost, but now we are found. Would you use us by the power of your Spirit to do these things in our community, that we would see KBC blow up with people who are hungry for the Lord and hungry to hear God's word and hungry to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.